the materials of the tabernacle that constituted the foundation of faith. Exodus chapter 25 verses 1 to 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and sealskins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." The word in Exodus chapter 25 speaks about the materials of the tabernacle. I think that if I make a book about the Word of God's planned salvation that appeared in the tabernacle and deliver it to many Christians around the world, it would be a tremendous confirmation of the gospel for many people. When people come to know the word of truth revealed in the tabernacle, many confused aspects of their faith will be rightly organized through the word of truth, and as the words of the gospel of water and the Spirit are confirmed, it will be of great help in their life of faith. Pitiful lives. When we think about human life, it is truly pitiful. Human life seems to live briefly in this world like a wilderness and return to dust in vain. But because of their own sins, terrible suffering awaits them eternally. Many people live without any purpose during their time in this world, and are heading toward hell without meeting God who gave salvation. This is human life. But if this is all there is to human life, how pitiful it would be. What would happen to such people if there were no Messiah? If human life were just thrown randomly into this vast world, wandering around without any purpose, and then disappearing into darkness, it would be truly pitiful and regrettable. Even when we look at the people close to us, we acknowledge that this is truly the case. When I was coming by car a little while ago, I saw an elderly man about 60 years old, wearing a hat and walking along the roadway. His back view, with his head deeply bowed and shoulders drooping, looked extremely forlorn. When we honked our car horn, the old man turned around, and we immediately saw that his face was filled with deep sorrow. All of us in the car were for a moment lost in thought after seeing the old man's expression. That old man was probably feeling the futility of life. His already empty life, upon meeting the bleak autumn, might have felt even more empty, experiencing the futility of life even more deeply. Not only that old man, but all people, all human lives, are in fact truly pitiful. Before we know it, we have aged so much, and what has filled our lives are the deeply carved wrinkles that tell of those difficult years. Many people have lived with difficulty without even having the leisure to look back at their past. All parents have lived with toil for their children and for their families, but in the twilight of their lives, there is nothing left, making them indescribably melancholy. Tears flow throughout their bodies due to their intense emotions. It is only when human life has flowed through much time and reached an age of maturity that they look back at their past and feel that this autumn atmosphere is just like their own condition. In this autumn, when all the leaves of vegetation fall and only winter lies ahead, they recognize that their own lives will also disappear in the same way and regret it, but there is nothing they can do about it. Also, what awaits the life that goes without meeting the Messiah God? Those who go without meeting the Messiah are eternally pitiful. I too would have lived a really pitiful life if I had not met the Lord. If you all had not met the Lord, where would you have gone after living as pitiful people? In this world, there are too many people who have reserved unhappiness for themselves by not meeting the Lord. It is really regrettable that there are so many people in this world who have reserved unhappiness for themselves like this. A piglet can just grunt and think only about delicious food every day until it meets its end. But our human life is different from such pigs, so we must think while looking toward the eternal future. Most people meet their end with regret for themselves. They come to know that there is an eternal heaven, but But because they have sins, they themselves acknowledge that they are too inadequate to enter that place. The fact that there are so many lives in this world who sigh and regret like this is too regrettable. When we think that most human lives cannot go to the good place that God has prepared, and really disappear from this world without fulfilling the purpose for which they were born, it is too pitiful and regrettable. That is why human life is said to be like hardship. People say that human life is like the hardship of living to survive in the wilderness. It is because humans are just born and struggle to survive in hardship until death, and then pass away. When we recall the fact that life is such, there is no doubt that explaining the truth of this tabernacle to all people and helping them meet the Messiah is an extremely important work. This is because God meets sinful people in His house through the sacrifice offering He has appointed and gives salvation from sin. The tabernacle is God's house. God meets sinful people in the tabernacle, which is God's house, through sacrificial offerings with the grace of remission of sins. But I will have you build a house for me to dwell in, and there above the mercy seat inside the tabernacle, I will meet with you. Therefore, all people can meet God only inside God's house, the tabernacle. This faith that believes in the truth about the tabernacle is precious truth that cannot be exchanged for anything else in this world and cannot be bought with any price. We who have Christian faith believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior believe that knowing this tabernacle accurately and entering into an even more blessed path through faith is the way. We are living with true gratitude before God. There is much happiness in my heart wondering where there could be people living such blessed lives as we are. Although human life is truly pitiful, people live without knowing their own lives well. However, God wants to make them realize how stubbornly wrong they are living before God, and to give them a repentant heart. But they do not listen to the precious gospel that God has freely given, and they try to live without opening their hearts even a little. When we look at Exodus, we see the 10 plagues that God brought upon Pharaoh. The plagues that God brought upon Egypt were all 10 plagues. God commanded Pharaoh to let my people who live in Egypt go. He commanded that if you do not do so, I will bring 10 plagues upon you. But Pharaoh did not believe what God had said, was stubborn, and came to suffer all the 10 plagues that God had promised. Pharaoh was being wrongly stubborn. Also, only after receiving all the punishment that God had brought down did he let the Israelites go. And this was because he was held captive by Satan. This speaks of the wrong stubbornness that is within each one of us. Such people cannot receive the remission of sins that God has appointed in God's tabernacle and live with God by faith. Such people are so stubborn that they reject and do not believe God's truth with stubbornness like whale tendons. Therefore, there are too many who cannot meet that God of truth and live as sinners and perish. I find that fact too sad. Many people are being too wrongly stubborn before God. When such people encounter some painful situation, they abandon their stubbornness for a while, but when the situation seems to improve a little, they again reject God's will, do not believe in the Lord, and are stubborn, so they come to meet the second plague. When they meet a plague, they shrink back a little, but that is only for a moment, and soon they again do not listen to God's word and challenge God. Thus they meet the third plague and consecutively the fourth plague, fifth plague, sixth plague, seventh plague, eighth plague, ninth plague, and finally after suffering all the plagues up to the last plague, they surrender and perish. Because they do not believe in what the Messiah has done, there are many who suffer the torment of hell as the final plague. Thus human life is truly foolish. That is why all human life is truly pitiful. Although human life is pitiful before God, you should approach the word of the tabernacle knowing that being able to meet God in the tabernacle is a great blessing. After God told Moses to come up to Mount Sinai, he said, "Forbid the Israelites. Forbid the animals too." God spoke the 10 commandments to Moses at Mount Sinai. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols nor bow down to them. You shall not take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And so on, God commanded 10 things. Also, God spoke about what must be observed in daily life. And if you add all of that up, it becomes 613 things. What to do when an animal is lost, what to do when someone else's animal falls into a pit, do not commit incest when you use a servant, use him for up to 6 years and set him free in the seventh year. And if the master gives a female servant to a male servant who came in alone and marries him off so that he has children, in the seventh year send him out alone as he came in alone. And so on. He gave 613 commandments. In this way, he spoke all the ethical laws we must observe in our lives, such commands, and all the laws of faith that we must keep before God. When combined, these are the 613 commandments and laws. The offerings that God required from us. God spoke through Moses, saying, "You go down to the foot of the mountain, gather the elders, and proclaim God's commands." So the Israelites heard those words of God and said, "All are right words. Therefore, we will all keep them," and made an oath with blood. But this time again, God called Moses up to the mountain, and the word he spoke this time was to build the tabernacle. God spoke to the Israelites through Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." Speaking thus, he enumerated the offerings. "And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and sealskins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate." God required such offerings as gold, silver, bronze, blue thread, purple thread, scarlet thread, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, sea otter skins, and acacia wood, which is Israel's acacia tree. There was a purpose for God telling them to bring such offerings. That purpose was for God to build a shining house without sin on this earth where God would dwell, to meet the Israelites and to take away their sins. However, this does not mean that God told them to bring money to build a visible church building today. God telling them to offer those offerings before him meant that God would receive these and use them to build God's house, which is a copy of salvation from sin. In fact, God received these offerings to deliver us humans from sin and to save us from judgment. It was so that God himself would meet us pitiful human lives, wash away our sins, take away our sins, and make us God's people. The spiritual secrets of the offerings that God told them to bring. We should think about this part in the text where God tells them to bring offerings. Then, by rightly knowing how God builds the tabernacle, we should examine our faith. Therefore, we should also know what kind of faith we should have before God today. First, he told them to bring gold, and then he told them to bring silver and bronze. Gold and silver were used for things like the pillars and bands of God's house in the tabernacle, and the ark and lampstand inside it. While gold and silver were all used to build God's house in the tabernacle, bronze was all used for things buried in the ground. Bronze was also used for the rings that connected the ram skins of the coverings of the tabernacle. Also, blue thread, purple thread, and scarlet thread were still used to build God's house. The blue thread was used to make the outer garment of the high priest to wear, and the thread used to make the breastplate that held the 12 kinds of stones attached to the high priest's chest was also woven with blue thread, purple thread, and scarlet thread. In other words, they attached 12 kinds of stones to the priest's garment woven with blue thread using blue thread, purple thread, and scarlet thread, and hung it on the high priest's chest. Also, blue thread was used as curtains in the tabernacle, and was always used for the outer garment of the high priest who served God in the tabernacle and for connecting rings. Also, blue thread, purple thread, and scarlet thread were used for the curtains doors of the tabernacle. They were used for the door entering the tabernacle, the door entering the holy place, the door entering the most holy place, and also for the curtains of the ceiling inside the tabernacle. As a result, this means they were used for the remission of the sins of the Israelites. God told them to bring offerings, but what does this tell us? All those offerings were used for the remission of sins of the Israelites. The Israelites offer such offerings before God, but what kind of offerings, that is, what kind of work should we do before God now? We must have faith that believes in the truth revealed in the materials of the tabernacle by faith. Gold tells us to have faith that believes in God's word without doubt. Silver speaks of the gift of salvation. He told us to have faith that believes in the gift of salvation which the Messiah gave entirely, the faith that the Lord bore our sins and was judged. And we must believe that the Lord performed the work of salvation with blue thread, purple thread, scarlet thread, and fine twined linen, and completely saved us from all sins and from all judgment. Blue thread means that the Messiah came to this earth and was baptized to bear our sins, and purple thread means that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and God, and that he came to this earth wearing human flesh. And scarlet thread speaks of him bearing all our sins and going to the cross to shed his blood and die for us. Jesus spoke of blue thread, purple thread, and scarlet thread. He bore our sins by being baptized, died on the cross, and rose from death to save us. Not only that, but the Lord fulfilled the fine twined linen. That is what God had spoken in the Old Testament, exactly in the New Testament. So we must have faith that believes in the truth. The Lord today has removed the sins of all pitiful lives, yours, mine, and everyone's, through the salvation shown in the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and has required us to have faith in that gospel of truth. Therefore, when we look at these offerings that God told them to bring to build the tabernacle, we can really know why we must know and believe the gospel of water and the Spirit before God. We really come to know the reason why we must have faith in the blue, purple, and scarlet thread before God. What we should know through the offerings of the tabernacle is that Jesus Christ unilaterally took away our sins and spoke of our being delivered from sin and judgment by receiving through faith the gift of salvation that he gave us entirely. God entirely bore all our sins and received all the judgment for our sins, and he requires from us faith that believes in that. Therefore, through these offerings that God required from the Israelites, we must first know and have what kind of faith we should possess to come before God. The offering that God told them to bring, the offering that should be offered before God, the faith that God wants, such faith is faith that believes in the truth revealed in blue, purple, and scarlet. We should examine whether we have useless faith that is not such faith, and whether we have ignored the faith that is absolutely necessary for our salvation. And I hope that you will accurately see this and realize the necessity of having such faith. If we have neglected the faith that believes in the gospel of water and the Spirit that the Lord desired from us, shouldn't we have it even now? If we have had wrong faith, useless faith, shouldn't we abandon it even now? So we should truly meet God in God's house, give thanks before God, and live receiving and enjoying all the blessings that God has prepared. Receiving the remission of sins according to God's will, meeting with God, and living happily forever, we must rightly know that this is the faith that God is pleased with. We must have the right faith. The faith that God wants is all expressed in these offerings that God told them to bring. Gold, silver, and bronze. Now let us examine where gold, silver, and bronze were used in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, gold was used for the lampstands, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the mercy seat, and the ark, all of which were inside the holy place and the most holy. Gold speaks of faith that believes in God's word. Bronze was used for the sockets that set up the pillars of the tabernacle, the pegs, and the altar of burnt offering. Some bronze is buried in the ground. The bronze that is buried in the ground speaks of judgment for sin. And bronze speaks of people being those who will receive God's judgment because of their sin of not being able to keep the law. What is the spiritual faith regarding gold, silver, and bronze? It forms the foundation of faith in receiving the gift of salvation that God has given. Bronze speaks of the Lord coming to this earth and becoming the sacrificial offering of burnt offerings, fire offerings, or sin offerings performed in the tabernacle, thereby receiving the judgment for our sins in our place, since all people without exception are sinners who cannot perfectly keep the law and we should die because of sin. Because of the sin they committed, sinners brought an unblemished sacrifice to the tabernacle, and according to the sacrificial law that God established, they laid their hands on the head of the sacrificial animal, laying on of the hands, to transfer their sins, and the sacrifice that received those sins shed blood and died in place of the sinner. By doing this, the sins of the Israelites who had no choice but to go to hell because of the sin received remission, and they were able to escape judgment for sin. Let us think about the blue, purple, and scarlet thread in fine twined linen. These four colored threads were used for the door of the court of the tabernacle, the door of the holy place, and the door of the most holy. These four threads tell us the truth that according to the prophecy in Genesis chapter 2 that the Lord would come as the seed of the woman, our Lord came to this earth, was baptized, and died on the cross to save sinners from sin, and that he who saves becomes God. These four threads were used not only for the doors of the tabernacle but also for the garments of the high priest and the ceiling of the tabernacle. This was the covenant that Jesus Christ would come to this earth and fulfill the ministry of blue, purple, and scarlet thread to save us from sin. And the Lord actually fulfilled this promise and saved us from the sins of the world. The most core point in the door of the tabernacle is the blue thread. What is the reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth as the Messiah and had to go to the cross? It is because he was baptized. Blue thread speaks of Jesus being baptized, purple thread speaks of Jesus being the King, and scarlet speaks of Jesus Christ being crucified and shedding his blood for us. Blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen are the materials of the gift of salvation by which Jesus Christ came to this earth as the Messiah and bore the sins of you and me. Many people in the world speak only of Jesus Christ being the Son of God and fundamentally God, and of his blood on the cross. In fact, God clearly spoke through the tabernacle that this alone is not the truth. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ testifies that by receiving baptism, which is the sign that saves us, he fulfilled the promise of salvation and completely established the foundation of faith. Who is our Messiah? Messiah means Savior, and it speaks of Jesus coming to earth and receiving baptism to bear all the sins of mankind, thereby taking away all the sins of you and me. God told them to weave blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen to make the door of the court of the tabernacle. There was a purpose for our Lord, who is the King of Kings and the Master of Heaven, to come to this earth wearing human flesh, to fulfill the truth of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen. The Lord came to this earth in the flesh and received baptism from John the Baptist, the representative of mankind, to fulfill all righteousness of God, and this was the same as the sacrificial offering in the Old Testament receiving the laying on of hands from the high priest and passing on the sins of the Israelites. That is, Jesus came to this earth as a sacrificial offering for the sins of all sinners in the New Testament era. Just like the sacrificial offerings of the Old Testament, was baptized, was crucified, and was judged for the sins of the world. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist as a sacrificial lamb and fulfilled the truth of the blue thread. Jesus was baptized and bore the sins of mankind once and for all. Most of those who believe in Christianity do not know and cannot believe in the baptism that Jesus received, which is the truth of blue thread, so they have not received the removal of sins once and for all, and thus they end up becoming worse people than those of other religions. If we cannot rightly interpret that Jesus Christ came to this earth and was baptized to take upon our sins, then those who believe in Jesus will lose all the foundation of their faith. The blue thread is precisely the way and truth that the Messiah came to this earth and bore the sins of the world. The reason Jesus Christ was crucified, shed blood, and died was because our sins were transferred to him through baptism. Because Jesus took upon himself our sins through the baptism he received from John, Jesus was able to die on the cross like that, and his sacrifice on the cross for us did not become in vain. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was able to complete our salvation by being baptized and dying on the cross, completely receiving the judgment for our sins. If Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, had come to this earth but had not been baptized by John the Baptist, the representative of mankind, to bear our sins, then no matter how much suffering and hardship he endured and died on the cross, his death would have been nothing but a death in vain. Today's Christianity has lost the meaning of the blue thread. However, today's Christianity turns away from the blue thread and has a strong tendency to interpret God's word arbitrarily according to their own understanding, which will soon be judged as a great sin. The blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine-twined white thread used for the door of the court entering the tabernacle speak of the truth of salvation that our Messiah Jesus Christ came to this earth wearing human flesh to save us from sin, and had to be baptized and die on the cross. Jesus bore all our sins. How did Jesus bear our sins? He bore them through the baptism he received from John. Only by bearing the sins of the world could Jesus become our true Savior. That is why the door of the tabernacle is woven with these four threads. This speaks of Jesus coming to earth, being baptized, shedding his blood on the cross, and rising from death, that this Jesus was God. In the Bible, fine twine linen is white thread. And it speaks of God's word that God spoke prophetic words in the Old Testament, and fulfilled those prophetic words in the New Testament. And the blue thread speaks of the Lord coming to this earth as a sacrificial offering and being baptized and taking upon our sins, as he promised to save us. Purple thread means that he who bore our sins was the very Creator who created us. As our God of salvation, he came to this earth to save his people from their sins and bore the sins of sinners. The door of the court of the tabernacle is made of this blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen. Jesus is the door of salvation to enter the kingdom of heaven. That door is a door made of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Jesus being baptized by John and crucified was the gift of salvation that saved sinners from sin. Because today's Christianity does not rightly know the baptism that Jesus received, Christianity has failed to meet God completely, and has thus fallen into becoming a worldly religion. Therefore, Christianity must now believe in Jesus Christ by laying the clear foundation of faith in blue, purple, and scarlet thread. That foundation of faith is faith that believes the Lord came to this earth and saved you and me from the sins of the world through blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen. Jesus came to this earth and accomplished the gift of salvation through the baptism and the blood of the cross that saves us from sin. Specifically, Jesus came to this earth wearing human flesh, bore the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John and the blood of the cross, and died on the cross to receive the judgment for sin that you and I should have received in our place. Jesus, who saved us through water and blood like this, is fundamentally the master of creation who made you and me, and is the very one who gave us the gift of salvation that saved you and me from sin. Jesus, who saved us from all sin and judgment, becomes our true Savior. The materials of the tabernacle spoke this to us. Therefore, by believing in the material of this tabernacle, our faith must become very clear. In believing in Jesus, who came as our Messiah, as our Savior, we must clearly and certainly believe in our hearts in Jesus Christ, who received baptism, received all judgment on the cross, and resurrected from the dead after 3 days. The Savior who gave us the gift of salvation from all our sins through the baptism Jesus received and the blood he shed on the cross was not just a human being, but was the Creator who created mankind and all things in the universe. We must confess our faith of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Without such a confession of faith, believing in Jesus as Savior makes no sense. Have you ever played a word relay game? It is a game where the first person receives a sentence and passes that sentence to another person only through lip movements. Like this, the second person who receives what word or sentence it is by looking at the lip movements of the person in front passes it to the third person in the same way. And when it is finally passed to the last person in this manner, the last person guesses the original sentence. If the relay started with the word electric fan, it begins to change little by little as it goes through two or three people. Eventually, the last person answers, donkey. Christianity now has the wrong faith, just like the last person in a word relay game giving a completely wrong answer. Why is this so? Because they have not laid the foundation of faith on the faith of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Today's Christianity has not laid its foundation on the faith of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. If the foundation of faith is not accurate, no matter how much one believes in Jesus and tries to apply it to one's life, it cannot be applied. When the Lord told them to bring offerings to build the tabernacle, He first told them to bring gold, silver, and bronze, and second, He told them to bring blue thread, purple thread, scarlet thread, and fine twined linen. Therefore, all the materials used in this tabernacle show us that Jesus saved us through the baptism He received from John, the blood of the cross, death, and resurrection. Blue thread was used not only for the door of the tabernacle, but also for the garments of the high priest and for the ceiling of the tabernacle. This is the gospel that tells us how the Lord came to this earth and saved you and me from sin. This shows how important these four foundational faiths, blue thread, purple thread, scarlet thread, and fine twined linen, are in our faith. We must clearly establish the foundation of our faith based on this word. Only then can we believe in God, receive the elimination of sins, and become workers who spread this faith, so that when the Lord comes, we can stand boldly before God with this faith as people of faith. In fact, the subservience to foreign power still remains among people in our country, so they think that anything from abroad is better. When theologians say that foreign theologians have said something, they place great trust in those words and rely on them even more than God's word. Now we must escape from such ignorance and become those who truly believe in God's word and depend and rely on God. The baptism that the Lord received, the blood of the cross, and the truth that His origin is God have become the door of our salvation. Just as Peter confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." If you believe in God and believe that Jesus, who is God, came to this earth to save us from sin, you must also know and believe that the Lord came to this earth, was baptized to bear our sins, died on the cross, resurrected from death, and became our true God of salvation. The baptism that the Lord received and the blood of the cross are the foundation of true faith that enables us to receive the gift of salvation. If we cannot believe in the faith of blue, purple, and scarlet thread according to God's word, what kind of faith is that? The law is a shadow of the good things to come. The materials of the tabernacle show us that the Lord came to this earth wearing human flesh, was baptized, bore our sins, died on the cross to receive the judgment for the sins of you and me, and resurrected from death to become our Savior. The Lord promised in the Old Testament to give us the gift of salvation through blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen. The one who spoke that covenant was the King of Kings and was Jesus Christ, who was baptized and shed His blood for sinners. That God came as the Messiah for you and me. The Lord came to this earth wearing human flesh like you and me, bore the sins of you and me through baptism, died on the cross, and resurrected from death to become our true Messiah and Savior. Therefore, we must know and believe this completely to lay the foundation of our faith. We must receive the gift of salvation by believing in the gospel of water and the Spirit. Gold, silver, and bronze were materials used in the tabernacle. These materials become the foundation of our faith. We were those who had no choice but to go to hell because of our sins before God. The Lord gave the gift of salvation to us who were such people, that is, to those who believe. The Lord became a sacrificial offering who was baptized by John and died on the cross, completely saving us from sin. We are those who only knew that we would receive judgment for sin because of our sins, but did not know how to have faith that blots out sin, and thus had no choice but to go to hell. However, within God's house, there was the gift of salvation. Jesus came to this earth, took all our sins upon Him through baptism, and died on the cross, resolving all sins and judgments. This is the gift of salvation. God accomplished our salvation completely, and we receive salvation from sin by believing in the gift of salvation that He gave us. That is why He told us to offer faith like gold, silver, and bronze before God. This is because He gave the gift of salvation to those who had no choice but to go to hell, and He completely saved you. Because the Lord came to this earth, bore all our sins, and received all judgment for us, truly saving us, we have completely obtained salvation before God through faith in that gift of salvation. In this way, Jesus Christ became our complete Savior. Therefore, we must stand firm with faith that believes in the gift of salvation. We must believe in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen, because they are the gift of salvation. God hated believing blindly without knowing the word of the Bible. Goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, and sea otter skins. These materials were used as coverings to cover the tabernacle. They first covered it once with a covering woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen, then covered it with a covering made of goat's hair, then covered it again with ram skins dyed red, and finally covered it with sea otter skins. In this way, the tabernacle was covered with four coverings. The last covering placed over the tabernacle was sea otter skins. Therefore, what was exposed on the surface of the tabernacle roof was this dark sea otter skin. Sea otters refer to otters of the sea, and their skin size is about the size of a person or smaller, and their skin could serve as waterproofing to prevent water from seeping through. So they caught otters and made coverings from their skins to use as the topmost covering of the tabernacle. Because of this, the tabernacle was very unsightly in its outward appearance. The topmost covering had dark sea otter fur on it, so it was not very nice to look at. It is saying that when Jesus Christ comes to this earth for us, He will come in this way, in a form that has nothing desirable. Ram skins dyed red speak of Jesus Christ coming to this earth and being sacrificed for our sins, and goat's hair speaks of Jesus Christ receiving baptism as a sacrificial offering, receiving our sins transferred to Him, and being sacrificed on the cross to save us. Therefore, these covering materials of the tabernacle are the foundation of our faith. This truth is absolutely indispensable material for such faith. Jesus Christ came to this earth as a sacrificial offering to give us the gift of salvation. The Old Testament sacrificial offerings without blemish that God appointed, goats, sheep, and cattle, received the laying on of hands, received the sins of sinners transferred to them, died and shed blood, and were burned, thereby eliminating all the sins of sinners and saving them. Jesus Christ died by shedding His blood because He came to this earth as a sacrificial lamb and our sins had been transferred to Him through the laying on of hands. Just as the sacrificial offering that received the laying on of hands was burned on the altar of burnt offering, Jesus was baptized and received the judgment for sin by shedding His blood and dying on the cross, thereby saving us from the sins of the world. Just as the blood of the sacrificial offering was applied to the horns of the altar of burnt offering and names were erased from the book of judgment before God, because Jesus received baptism and shed His blood, He completed eternal atonement with that blood and eliminated the sins of the world to save us. In this way, all the materials of the tabernacle speak of Jesus Christ and tell us that Jesus Christ saved us from the sins of the world in this way. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, the word that Jesus saved us from sin was truth without a single error. Today's Christians do not believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a sacrificial offering and was baptized to bear our sins, but unconditionally believe only that He died hanging on the cross. Therefore, if we follow the faith of current Christians, it would be faith embroidered with scarlet thread and purple thread, excluding blue thread. For them, ignoring the covering made of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen, there is only the wrong faith that says they need only two things: ram skins dyed red and sea otter skins. When we look at many pictures of the tabernacle drawn by foreigners today, most of them are drawn so that we cannot tell where the blue thread is in the door of the court of the tabernacle. Because they do not know the gospel of water and the Spirit accurately, we can see that in the pictures they drew, The door of the court of the tabernacle is painted entirely in red and white. However, such faith is not faith that God acknowledges. In the door of the court of the tabernacle, blue thread was used the most, second was purple thread, then scarlet thread, and then white thread. Therefore, when we look at the door of the court, each of the four different colors should be visible at a glance. However, most people in the world believe without knowing the baptism that Jesus received, so they ignore the four threads used in the tabernacle and make the door of the tabernacle with only two threads. In this way, they are cunningly deceiving those who, as it is, do not know God well and do not know God's word. These people are false prophets. Regarding this, Jesus said, "Satan the devil sowed tares in the field." In the pictures of the tabernacle, they leave out the blue thread and become people who spread wrong falsehoods. Therefore, even though people believe in Jesus, they have sin, and even though they believe in Jesus, they fall into destruction because of their sins. We must have a clear foundation of faith. No matter how long you live a religious life on a faith that does not have a proper foundation, what benefit would there be to your soul? Wrong faith may collapse at any time. What use would it be to build a beautiful house on the foundation of wrong faith? No matter how well you serve God with a wrongly established foundation of faith, it is ultimately like building a house on sand. So when typhoons blow, winds blow, and floods come, everything will collapse and fall. But what about faith with a strong foundation of faith? It never collapses under any shaking. God said that a house built on the rock that believes in the truth woven with blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen will not collapse. It is actually so. What is faith on the rock? It is faith that believes in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen. The faith of a person who built such a house of faith will not collapse in any situation. Therefore, this foundation must be extremely strong in our faith. If we believe without accurately knowing what the Lord actually did, that faith becomes false religious faith that God does not want. Acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, spices for the sweet incense and onyx. The wood used for the pillars of the tabernacles inside the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, and the pillars of the sanctuary was all acacia wood. Acacia wood is a type of acacia tree found in Israel. Wood refers to us humans, and the fact that this wood was used for the altar of burnt offering where fire sacrifices are offered and for the pillars of the tabernacle means that we humans, like acacia trees whose roots are always buried in the soil, are fundamentally those who can only sin and can only receive judgment. People must acknowledge the fact that they are always unrighteous and can only sin. Oil for the light, spices used for the anointing oil, spices for sweet incense, spices for making incense to burn, and onyx are like faith offered to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Messiah who saved you and me. The meaning of the name Jesus is He who will save His people from their sins, and Christ means the Anointed One, so Jesus Christ is God and our heavenly High Priest who saved us. The Lord came to this earth in flesh according to the will of God the Father, was baptized, went to the cross, and was sacrificed for all sins, giving us the gift of salvation. This heavenly high priest's duty that Jesus, who gave us salvation, took on was such a beautiful duty. The ephod and the stones to be set in the breastplate. The stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate are made up of 12 kinds of stones. The high priest put on undergarments, then put on a blue robe, and over that put on the ephod. He attached the breastplate to the chest of the ephod that was worn when offering sacrifices and set 12 kinds of stones on it. The office of the priest is to embrace all the tribes of Israel and all the nations of the world in his heart and go before God to offer sacrifices for them. Jesus, the high priest of heaven, also embraced all the nations of this world in his heart and offered his body. He was baptized by John, took on the sins, and was sacrificed, thus offering himself before God the Father for his people. The 12 kinds of stones attached to the ephod and breastplate speak of all the nations of this world, and the high priest who wore them speaks of Jesus Christ who saved all nations and embraced them in his heart. Our God told them to bring such offerings and build a sanctuary where God would dwell. There was spiritual meaning in God's command to build a place where God would dwell with these offerings. The Israelites always had sinned because they could not keep the law that God gave them. Therefore, God told them through Moses to build the tabernacle and gave them the sacrificial law to offer sacrifices in the tabernacle for the removal of sin. God received the offerings, had them build the tabernacle, which is God's house, and then had them offer sacrifices there according to the sacrificial law, thereby eliminating all the sins of the Israelites. In this way, God was able to dwell with the Israelites in the tabernacle. However, there are far too many Christians on this earth who do not believe in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen. God told them to bring gold, silver, and bronze, so why do they not believe in that truth that gives salvation? Were we not those who would go to hell because of sin? Even though you and I are those who would go to hell, do you believe in Christianity like a worldly religion? If you have believed that way until now, you must repent and return to faith like blue, purple, and scarlet thread and linen. You must realize that you have sinned before God's majestic law. Clearly recognize that you are destined for hell because of that sin. And believe in the gospel of water and the Spirit. You and I are those who can only go to hell, but we must believe in the gospel of truth that the Lord came to this earth as the Messiah, received baptism for the sins of you and me, went to the cross and shed his blood and was sacrificed, thereby saving you and me from sin and judgment. Unless we believe in the gospel of water and the Spirit revealed in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, the foundation of our faith can never be completely established. We must think about this. God told us to bring faith in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, but we must know whether we truly have faith in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, or whether we are only believing in the truth revealed in scarlet thread and purple thread. Perhaps we should examine whether we are offering God the faith that suits our own tastes. God told us to bring blue, purple, and scarlet thread, but are we perhaps offering faith like nylon string? If we use those threads that God told us to bring in the tabernacle, they will rot when it rains. And you know, trying to prepare those things is too tiring. So why don't you try nylon string? This is guaranteed for 50 years. And if you don't touch it, it will last 100 years. And even if you bury it in the ground, it won't rot for 200 years. It's really strong, isn't it? Are we perhaps doing this? We must think about whether we are offering such self-intoxicated and superstitious beliefs to God from our side. And if so, we must repent. We must turn around. Among us, there are probably many who think they believe in God very well when they look at themselves. However, in reality, there are far too many people who know wrongly and believe wrongly. Mysticism prevalent in today's Christianity. People who usually believe in Christianity mostly believe in mysticism. Such people not only have no interest in what God's Word says, but also do not know it well. Since they do not know the word of truth that the Messiah gave anyway, they believe in and follow the Lord only by being faithful to their own feelings or emotions. And they think those feelings are truth, because they earnestly pray to God alone and focus on being filled with their own emotions or feelings that they feel when praying, they cannot discern what true faith in believing in God is. This believing in emotions and feelings that one feels within one's own thoughts is mystical belief. Those who believe in these feelings are mystics, feelings that come when praying, feelings that come when praising, feelings when believing, feelings when doing dawn prayer, feelings that come when praying all night long, feelings that come when going to mountain prayer, feelings that come when committing sin, feelings that come when doing repentance prayer. Everyone living a life of faith by holding on to some feeling that comes strongly, that is not the faith of those who have the faith in blue, purple, and scarlet that the Messiah spoke of. Generally, if we look at today's Christian history, 99.9% is mystical belief. In other words, it would not be an exaggeration to say that all Christianity except the early church are mystics. Those who do not have the faith of blue, purple, and scarlet have feelings in their own way and mistake them for true faith. They say that they met God when they prayed, and that they felt really good when they praised. They say, Gathering at praise meetings, everyone raised both hands together to repent of their sins, held onto the cross, and engaged in the movement to be filled with the Holy Spirit. At that time, their hearts were as hot as fire, and they really felt Christ to be very lovable. The blood that Christ shed felt so thankful in their hearts, and they believed so deeply that the Lord had washed away all their sins and therefore shed his blood, which made them feel so good. Then on a day when the emotion cooled, they say, "But now that feeling has all dried up, and there is sin in my heart." Such faith is mystical beliefs. Regardless of denomination or sect, all Christians absolutely need faith that believes in blue, purple, and scarlet thread in their hearts. Those who do not know well the faith of blue, purple, and scarlet spoken of in God's Word are all people who have mystical and superstitious faith. Such people are like those who bring nylon strings instead of the faith of blue, purple, and scarlet before God. They bring out vain faith that God does not even look at, claiming it to be faith. If you go to the dockside, there are ropes for tying boats, right? Thick, bumpy hemp rope. The Lord told us to bring blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen, but some people bring thick hemp rope and say, "Lord, please receive this faith." And some people, when they go to the wharf, tie boats together like this. And they also offer to the Lord those steel cables that hold onto utility poles so they won't fall down. Those steel cables are called wire, and they wind up a lot of wire, tie it up, carry it, and put it right before God, saying, "Please receive this." God told us to bring faith in blue, purple, and scarlet. He did not tell us to bring steel cables. But many people bring what seems better to them or what is easier to obtain. Some people come before God with wire, hemp rope, nylon string, or kudzu vines, but God receives only blue, purple, and scarlet thread as offerings. God has clearly determined, "The faith I receive is faith of blue, purple, and scarlet." Before God, we must bring faith of blue, purple, and scarlet. He was not a savior who receives just any offerings. And when offering jewels before God, we must bring the 12 jewels that God has designated. Yet among people, there are those who bring copper or iron before God. Is Jesus a junk dealer who accepts everything? No, he is not. However, Jesus is not a junk dealer who accepts just any junk like this. He is not a junk dealer who accepts everything when you bring just anything. He is not a merchant who accepts broken nail heads when you bring them. Jesus is the Savior of mankind who wanted to perform the ministry of blue, purple, and scarlet thread for us, and to bestow mercy and true love on sinners by taking away their sins. That is why he is called the King of Love. Our Shepherd is really the King of Love. Jesus is our true Savior. The faith that such a Lord wants from us has been determined to just a few things. When we believe and come before the Lord with only that faith he has designated, the Lord gives us the salvation he promised. However, among those who wrongly know and believe in the Messiah, we see that there are those who are truly stubborn, cunning, and malicious. Just as much as Pharaoh was stubborn before God. When God said to Pharaoh, "Thus says Jehovah, let my people go," Pharaoh said, "Who is God?" When they told him God is such a one, and informed him of God's existence, he should have calculated, quickly surrendered, and broken his stubbornness. If he really couldn't believe it and had to be stubborn, it would have been better to endure once and then break his stubbornness when he met about two plagues. Pharaoh was stubborn and did not follow God's word even after meeting the plague where all the frogs came up from the water and covered the entire country. How foolish and pitiful was this behavior! Lice swarmed all over Pharaoh's palace. Lice were teeming in the garbage cans, swarming on the ceiling, swarming on the floor, swarming here and there, swarming in the blankets, swarming on the clothes, and when he went into the kitchen, lice were swarming all over the walls, yet Pharaoh still would not surrender. How could anyone live in a place swarming with lice? Then he should have said, "Oh, God is directly showing me that he is the King of Kings because I did not listen to God's word. Though I am a king of this land, I cannot compare to God. Though I am the king of the greatest nation on this earth and have the power to rule the entire world, God has greater power than I do. So he brought this plague because I would not listen to his word. And he should have submitted. It would have been wise for him to calculate and quickly surrender. If he thought, I absolutely cannot do such things, no matter how strong he was, he should have surrendered before God, saying, God, you are first, I am second, let's do it this way. But because he was stubborn, lice came to swarm throughout the entire country and all the people. Because of these plagues, all the people could not do anything. Everyone was so unbearable because of the lice that they had to go out hunting lice. How could they quietly do their work? To catch lice, they must have singed every house with torches, so there must have been many houses on fire. And the acrid smell of burning lice must have spread throughout the entire village. There are things humans can do and things they cannot do. Since God is the owner of all things, God is the one who controls life and death, fortune and misfortune, blessings and curses. If that is the case, we should not hold out before God thinking we are somewhat okay, but should think rationally and break our stubbornness. Among us humans, we can hold out against each other arguing who is better or worse, but we cannot do so before the Messiah. We must think about what kind of person I should become before God. We must think deeply about whether we will become those who hold out before God or those who are gentle and meek in heart. And we must reach the clear conclusion that we must become meek before God. Even if we show off in front of people and act with madness, we must become those who are meek in spirit before God. A person who says, God, I was really wrong, only God is right, is a right person. That person is one who can be saved from a cursed life. For a life that departed from God because of sin to be embraced in God's arms and eat honey is to be born again of water and the Spirit. In this world like a wilderness, what is there to hope for in a life that lives so vainly, drifts aimlessly in the barren field, and returns to a handful of ashes? The only way for that life that returns to dust, that life that will ultimately enter the pit of fire, to be saved is to believe in the gospel of water and the Spirit and receive remission of sin. Only the gospel of water and the Spirit is the way for a desperate life, which opposes God and will suffer eternal destruction because of sin, to receive that merciful love and salvation love before God and to be miraculously revived. Therefore, people must receive salvation. How can a person challenge God? When God tells us to bring such offerings, we must obey that word. Today, you and I must know and believe that this word to bring offerings means, he is telling us to come before God with this kind of faith. The high priest's breastplate was set with 12 kinds of jewels, and it contained the jewels called Urim and Thummim, and with that, judgment is now made. This speaks of receiving light through the Holy Spirit within God's servants and through God's word to make judgment. Now before God, we must know that the truth of blue, purple, and scarlet is the true truth and the true salvation. This truth of blue, purple, and scarlet is truly the salvation that saves us, and nothing else is salvation. All the materials of the tabernacle are offerings related to salvation from human sin. But because people are foolish, they do not believe in the salvation of truth accomplished through blue, purple, and scarlet, and stubbornly resist for no reason. What happens then? They can never receive salvation. Before God, we must even cast away our own foolishness. And we must empty our hearts. Before God, we must cast away our own thoughts and stubbornness and offer our hearts by obeying God's word. We must never crawl up before God asserting our own stubbornness. We may do so before creatures, but if we are those who believe in Jesus, we must not do so before God at the very least. But foolish humans defy before God and are gentle before people. This is wrong. Before God, we must prostrate ourselves flat and acknowledge that all the words God has spoken are right. And we must believe and rely on the word of salvation accomplished through blue, purple, and scarlet. Faith is relying on God's word by believing it. When we prostrate ourselves flat before God, tell him all our difficulties and cling to him saying, please help me, God responds saying, I have solved it this way and that way. Then we humans must accept it saying, thank you. This is faith. But what glory are they trying to receive by showing off and making a fuss, bringing fishing line or wire instead of blue, purple, and scarlet thread before God? I have this kind of faith. I believe this firmly. Pulling out whale tendon from somewhere and holding out a bundle before God saying, I have kept such firm faith. This is not faith but challenging God. Before the Messiah, we must yield our stubbornness. We must humble ourselves before God. Before God, we must acknowledge ourselves. At every moment, we must acknowledge as God speaks and judges. That is the right faith of those who believe in Jesus. Following and believing according to God's word is the right attitude and right heart of believers. Before God, we must do so. Of course, among people, we can boast of our good qualities to each other, compare, compete, and challenge one another. Though in God's sight these are nothing more than comparing acorn sizes, people have no choice but to continue living that way. Everyone, even a puppy, recognizes its owner and prostrates itself flat before its owner to follow. A dog truly obeys its real owner, understands its owner's voice, and follows only its owner. When told no, even a dog immediately understands, bows its head, whines, and clings to the owner. How much more so if even animals do this? What about people? They bring faith made by their own thoughts to offer. They crawl up before God with their own thoughts, stubbornly resisting with wrong obstinacy. God has eliminated human sin through blue, purple, and scarlet like this, and says nothing to people except you must believe only in what I have done. Yet people stubbornly resist and challenge God. The Lord told us to bring all our sins, and He eliminated all of them with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, giving us the removal of sin. As such, the Lord told us to have faith in blue, purple, and scarlet thread. But people do not believe this and defiantly talk back to their owner, and then curses come upon them. If we come before the Messiah not with the faith the Messiah wants but with faith He does not want, the Messiah becomes angry. They keep coming with stubbornness like whale tendon saying, I have kept this kind of faith like this until now, so please praise me. I have kept the old faith like this, so please praise me. Would He praise them? Everyone, whale tendon may be useful for cooking, but before God, wrong faith like whale tendon is completely useless. God used blue, purple, and scarlet thread to eliminate our sins. He did not say He used only purple thread, nor did He say He used only scarlet thread, and He certainly did not say He used whale tendon. Just as there is no mention of Him using nylon string. In the house of God, within the law of salvation He gives us, the Messiah required faith of blue, purple, and scarlet. The word Christianity means a group that believes in and follows Jesus. Then we are also Christians. Even those who believed in Jesus as Savior but are not born again, those who have not received remission of sin, and those who do not have faith that believes in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, all of them, even though they believed in their own way, are Christians before God. But they are abandoned by God because they are religious people. Before God, we must be honest and acknowledge ourselves just as we are. At every moment, every minute and second, I must confess that I am one who should go to hell because of my sin. Before the Messiah, we must have faith in blue, purple, and scarlet thread. It is right to believe that way. And when confessing at every moment, we must reflect on the work of the Messiah receiving baptism to deliver us from sin and being crucified to receive the judgment of sin, and acknowledge salvation at every moment. This is the faith that God requires of us. If we do not have such faith as the Messiah wants, we can never please God. Why? Because the Lord became our eternal Savior through blue, purple, and scarlet thread. On our part, we need faith that believes in what God has done for us at every moment. Because we commit sins daily as we live, faith that believes in blue, purple, and scarlet thread is needed more every day, every moment. If we offer the Messiah what comes from our side and our zeal, will God be pleased? If we bring earthly things to offer to God, not only will we be slapped on both cheeks, but it corresponds to a very great sin of challenging God. Such faith is the sin of rebellion against God. Even if we offer croaker before God because croaker is so precious among fish, It cannot please God and is never the right faith that receives praise before God. No matter how good brown rice oil we bring, God will not receive it. We must really have the faith that God wants and offer that faith before the Lord. We must have pure faith that purely believes and purely offers according to God's word just as it is. While doing so, we must acknowledge what God has done at every moment and also acknowledge our own shortcomings. We must recall the many blessings that God has performed for us and accurately know and believe what He has done for us and how He has met us. We must abandon all mystical beliefs, and we must have only that faith that believes the word that God has spoken. We must offer such offerings of faith before God. When we really bring right offerings of faith before God, God rejoices, meets us, and receives our faith. Also, at that time, God gives us all those blessings that He has determined and prepared for us. Therefore, as we look at the words, we come to think, what really is the faith that God wants? What kind of prayer is the prayer that God wants? Then we come to know that it is prayer within faith. The Lord wants prayer within the faith that has received salvation by believing in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, within the faith that has received what God has given. If we try to bring our things before God to offer or to entrust, God will never receive them. We must know the fact that we absolutely must not do so. In the tabernacle, when we look at the word that says, bring blue thread, some person recorded in his sermon collection that blue thread represents Jesus is God. Seeing that, I could immediately know. You are truly a fraud. You are really not honest before God. And you have been deceiving until now. And you continue to deceive. One of the things the Messiah did when He came to this earth is the baptism that Jesus received from John to bear our sins. Precisely, blue thread represents the baptism that the Messiah received. What purple thread speaks of is that Jesus is the King of Kings and He is our fundamental Creator. Jesus is our Master and the God and Savior who saved us from sin. Purple thread represents that. Scarlet thread is the blood that the Messiah shed on the cross. As God spoke, the Lord came to this earth wearing human flesh and bore all our sins through baptism. So He received judgment on the cross for the price of our sins and paid the price of sin in our place. Jesus received judgment in place of our sins. The Lord also shed His blood on the cross to receive our death in our place. In this way, scarlet thread represents the blood of the cross that the Lord shed for us. And to give us eternal life, the Lord rose from death and gave us salvation. What blue, purple, and scarlet thread represents is this truth of salvation of water and the Spirit that the Messiah gave us. The Bible clearly speaks. It does not say that this is right and that is also right as people think, but like a single-minded person, it speaks of only one thing, faith in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, only the gospel of water and the Spirit as truth. If it is not this faith, it is not the right faith that the Lord wants. If it is not the faith that God requires, no matter how much one believes, it is not salvation. From God's side, No, the faith I want is this. I received baptism and died on the cross for you. I received baptism to eliminate your sins. Because I bore your sins, I could receive judgment for sin for you and be crucified and die for you. I am your Savior, but I am fundamentally your God. I am the King of Kings, but because I am also God to you, I came to this earth and accomplished everything. I want you to truly believe and acknowledge my authority in your heart, and really acknowledge me as your God. For such a purpose, our Lord gave us blue thread, purple thread, scarlet thread, and fine twined linen. And He required such faith. We must really have faith of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. There is still a lot of time left before the time comes, and life is still worth living, so what's the rush? Cool wind still enters my nostrils and the sun is still warm, so what does it matter? Life is still worth living, so do I really have to believe that way? Whether I believe this way or that way, it's all similar anyway. Are you not thinking like this? If you currently have other faith in your heart, you are absolutely not saved. Since there is still sin in that heart, you must turn your heart and return to faith that truly believes in the gospel of water and the Spirit. The heart of a believing person and the heart of a non-believing person are different. God knows this, and you yourself also know this. Therefore, you must turn around. God, I really have sinned. Please save me. If you turn your heart like this and hope for salvation, God also meets you with truth. The Lord has saved us from sin. When we bring offerings, God said, "Bring blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen in order." Therefore, we must believe exactly as this word says. If we first believe in the blood of the cross and then believe in Jesus' baptism, it may seem like believing, but in fact it is not believing. Because Jesus receiving baptism came first, he could be crucified and shed blood on the cross. He absolutely did not first shed blood on the cross and then receive baptism afterward. We can receive salvation only when we know and believe exactly as the word says. When the Lord came to this earth wearing human flesh and became 30 years old, he first received baptism to bear our sins. Then he carried the sin of the world, went to the cross, was crucified and received judgment for us, and then rose from the dead to become our Savior. Therefore, we must believe in what the Lord performed for us in the right order. We must believe that way. Only then can our faith stand as right faith and never be confused or shaken. And when preaching to others, we must preach that way and believe as God is pleased. We must believe as He has determined. Everyone, what offerings of faith does God tell you to bring? Does He not tell you to bring faith that believes in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen? What kind of faith do you have? Are you perhaps believing in reverse order? If you believed in reverse, saying, "Whether I believe this way or that way, I believe. But I first believed in scarlet thread, not blue thread, then purple thread. Please believe again." The Lord absolutely does not acknowledge that reversed faith. The Lord is the God of righteousness and the God of truth. Therefore, He does not acknowledge wrong faith. If the order of our faith is wrong, faith cannot stand justly. So it is faith that cannot be acknowledged even if one wants to acknowledge it. Just as we cannot lay a foundation after we have finished building a house, the Lord could go to the cross because He took upon Him our sins through baptism. Therefore, we must believe exactly as the Lord spoke. That is laying the foundation and is right faith. Because the Lord saved us rightly, justly, and righteously, that order cannot be changed according to human thoughts. If we believe that the blood of the cross came first when we believe, and later believe that the Lord received baptism for us, that faith is wrong. And those who believe that way still have sin in their hearts. It is because the order is wrong that sin is not washed away. That is the amazing truth. Before God, you used to believe only in the blood of Jesus' cross in the past. You believed, "Jesus shed His blood on the cross and received all judgment to eliminate my sins." So we obtained complete salvation. We obtained salvation through Christ who died for us on the cross. Now those who believe this have obtained salvation. Then later you came to know the true meaning of Jesus' baptism. So you add this truth of baptism on top of the faith you were wrongly believing at first. But what happens? Sin does not disappear. Because it became theory rather than faith, even though you know it in your thoughts, it did not become faith in your heart. Therefore, you must change quickly. You just need to change the order again. When the Lord came to this earth and received baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, He bore all my sins. Because Jesus received baptism, the sins of the whole world were transferred to Jesus. And if the sins of the whole world were transferred, my sins were also transferred. You must believe that way. Hey, what's the big deal? Whether you believe this way or that way, as long as you believe all for things, why are you so stubborn about insisting on that order? Some people might say this. If there are such people, keep this in mind. You must believe that Jesus could bear the sins of the world because He received baptism, and He could die on the cross for those sins. The Holy Spirit is absolutely not one who permits unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit, who is God, acknowledges that faith when we believe exactly as Jesus came to this earth and did His work. You believe all four things like this. Amen. Whether you believe backwards or forwards, this way or that way, any way you believed. Amen. Yes, you are my child. The Holy Spirit does not do that. Jesus, who is the Messiah, came to this earth according to God the Father's will and acted as the Father commanded him. He lived his 33-year life that way and departed. The Lord came to this earth, received baptism, died for us on the cross, and rose again, completing our salvation and ascending to heaven. And he sent the Holy Spirit to this earth. The God of the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts that have received remission of sin and acknowledges the faith of those who believe exactly in what the Lord did when he came to this earth. Therefore, we absolutely must not believe according to our own thoughts. You and I truly believe in Jesus well, but are we perhaps believing upside down or believing by changing the order? If so, we must believe rightly again. At that time, the Holy Spirit works in the faith of you and me. Though we are lacking, the Holy Spirit holds our hearts, stays with us, and gives us grace when we are lacking. The Holy Spirit gives us power. He gives us strength. He comforts us. He blesses us. He promises us the future. And to those of us who believe, he fills us with future blessings through our present faith. Believing in what the Lord has done, and his telling us to bring offerings, all of this speaks of such faith. We must believe that he saved us through water and the Spirit. All the materials in the tabernacle are important because all of this speaks of being born again through water and the Spirit. All things in the tabernacle are spoken of to tell us about the gospel of water and the Spirit. Among them, what is the material most used especially to convey truth? What is it that we can encounter most when we look at the tabernacle? It is the sacrificial offering and the work of the high priest, namely the work that blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen does. This is because it directly speaks of Jesus Christ the Savior receiving baptism for us and dying on the cross. In the tabernacle there is gold, silver, and everything else, but ultimately all of these things speak of faith that believes in one truth. That is, they represent the gospel of water and the Spirit and speak of faith that believes in that truth. We must really have childlike faith before God. When a child is taught one thing, he believes it, saying, "Yes, the Lord received baptism and died for us on the cross." When the Lord received baptism, the sins of the world were transferred to Jesus, and at that time my sins were also transferred. Because the Lord took on the sins of the world through baptism, he carried all those sins and went to the cross. He carried not only my sins but the sins of the whole world and received judgment for us. I believe. Thank you. That's right. Now I have no sin through faith. We too must believe that way. We really give thanks to God. God required such faith from us, told us to bring such offerings, and received such offerings to complete our salvation. He gave us this precious thing as a gift of grace without any price. We just need to receive it by faith. And we just need to offer this faith before the Lord. God, I believe like this. The Lord came to this earth, received baptism, shed his blood and died for us, and rose again on the third day. I believe like this. How perfectly does this faith match God's heart? This is the faith that God wants. This is the kind of offering that God wants. God wants an offering that is voluntarily offered. He hates things that are given by force or that one makes and offers by oneself. He wants us to believe in what God has done exactly as it is, believe in what God has spoken exactly as it is, and come before God with faith that truly agrees with our hearts. Therefore, we give thanks before God. We truly believe in Jesus in the same way, serve Jesus in the same way, believe in the correct order, and serve with one heart. There is one faith, one baptism, and one God. We must believe and live this way. Let us believe this way with one heart and one mind, serve one another, serve the Lord in the same way, and go while serving the gospel. Let us receive power within that power the Lord gives, work, and when God calls us to come, let us go and enjoy eternal blessedness. If we meet Jesus our Savior and receive and enjoy the blessing of salvation, where could there be happiness greater than this? How happy would we be even while living on this earth? We must really live with such faith that unites our hearts and breathes together, at least among ourselves. We must have right faith before God. Faith that agrees with God's heart. Faith that believes according to God's will. Therefore, I hope that all of us will become those who offer the faith that God wants before God. Thus, I hope you will receive many blessings both spiritually and physically through blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen, which are the materials of true faith. The foundation is very important in our faith. If we build the house of faith without clearly establishing the foundation of faith, the longer we believe in Jesus, the more sins accumulate, the more we have to pray repentance prayers, and the more we become hypocritical sinners. However, if we believe in the gift of salvation that the Lord saved us through blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen, we can become perfect children of God without sin in our hearts. We must believe in the truth of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen to become children of God. A person whose foundation of faith is perfect carries out the duties of a priest in bright light at all times, even though he may have shortcomings. He really embraces all the people of the world in his heart, prays before God for the removal of their sins, and carries out the duties of such a priest who serves this gospel before God. A person whose foundation is not clear becomes a hypocrite the longer his faith lasts, and he becomes an evil person. He becomes a religious person. Just as it is said that you know a tree by its fruit, the fruit that such people bear is terribly dirty and hypocritical fruit. However, we born-again people do not act hypocritically. We are really truthful. Though everyone has shortcomings, we are really sincere. We acknowledge our weaknesses, acknowledge our wrongs, and always live in bright light. The Lord completely removed all our sins by being baptized to take away all our sins and by dying on the cross, so we have received the removal of sins through faith. Because our foundation of faith is perfect, though we are lacking and weak and commit sins, we are bright because we always have hearts without sin through faith. Because born-again people actually have no sin, though they have shortcomings and sometimes go the wrong way, they do not go the wrong way that leads others to destruction or leads themselves to destruction. Though lacking, they take one step at a time further on the path that pleases God and serve the gospel more and more. Being able to have such a life of faith is possible because the Lord has completely saved us. If our Savior Jesus Christ had not perfectly saved you and me with these four kinds of thread, we would be those who could not receive salvation. Because He saved us, we have received salvation, and because of that, we believe, and because of that, we preach the gospel by faith, and because of that, we praise God by faith. We give thanks by faith, serve by faith, and follow by faith. We have become such people. It means that we have become those who please God by faith. It means that we have become those whose foundation of faith is firmly established. We must become people whose foundation of faith is rightly laid. A person whose foundation of faith is not laid correctly must lay that foundation again. Therefore, Hebrews says these words. Let us look at the words from Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 2. Wherefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on unto perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the teaching of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This word speaks of that. Why did Jesus receive baptism? Was this baptism the laying on of hands in the Old Testament? And will we rise again? What kind of judgment is eternal judgment? He tells us to clearly know and clearly confirm such things, and to lay a solid foundation. Therefore, it is saying not to be shaken again because of this, not to do the work of laying the foundation again, but to have perfect faith and live a life of faith on the foundation of perfect faith. Faith that believes in blue thread, purple thread, scarlet thread, and fine twined linen is perfect faith that the Lord has completely accomplished our salvation. We must stand firmly on this foundation of complete faith and continue to run. We must run the race of faith. Some people interpret this verse as saying that we must not say that sins were transferred through baptism and must not lay the foundation of faith again. But if we have laid the foundation of faith correctly, why would he tell us to lay it again? This means that those who do not have a foundation of faith should lay the foundation of faith, and those who have the foundation of faith should make their foundation even clearer and run forward toward what lies ahead. To save us, God commanded Moses to build the tabernacle and to receive offerings from the people, and he commanded the Israelites to bring gold, silver, bronze, blue thread, purple thread, and scarlet thread, fine twined linen, goat's hair, ram skins, sea otter skins, wood, and so on. With those very materials, the Lord saved you and me from the sins of the world and gave us the gift of salvation. Actually, God told them to bring such offerings, told them to build the tabernacle accordingly, established the sacrificial law to be offered in that tabernacle, and completely eliminated the sins of the Israelites who offered sacrifices according to that sacrificial law. It is by faith in the blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen, which prefigure the perfect salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ, that our faith is perfected. If the foundation of faith is not firmly established because one cannot believe in the perfect truth accomplished by Jesus Christ, the assurance of salvation will continue to be shaken. If you do not have the knowledge, understanding, and faith that the Lord has completely accomplished salvation for you personally, you will become someone who strives to accomplish your own salvation. That is not perfect faith. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 10 verses 26 to 31. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible says that if we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. And it says that only fearful judgment awaits. Sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth refers to those who know the gospel of water and the Spirit but do not believe it. Therefore, we must surely know that the roof of the tabernacle was covered with blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and sea otter skins, and we must firmly lay the foundation of faith. The Lord promised to save us perfectly, and when the time came, he came to this earth in the flesh of man, received baptism to bear our sins, was crucified on the cross, and rose from the dead, and thus saved us perfectly. Therefore, we have been perfectly saved through faith in that Jesus Christ who perfectly laid the foundation of salvation. But those who know this but do not believe will face God's fierce fiery judgment on the last day of judgment. They will suffer eternal torment forever with their flesh not dying. He said there will only be fierce fire. And he said the pain of hell is so severe that it is like salting with fire. He said there will only be a fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. If even breaking the law receives such fearful judgment, how much greater judgment awaits those who do not believe in the salvation that the Son of God has saved them? Therefore, we must believe in the Messiah Jesus Christ, he who came to this earth in human flesh, bore all the sins of you and me through the baptism he received from John, took on all the sins of the world, was crucified on the cross, received all the punishment for sin, rose from the dead, and is now alive as our Savior. So we must have the foundation of faith clearly laid. Why did God tell Moses to build the tabernacle? If we examine each and every material used in the tabernacle one by one, all of them reveal the truth that Jesus Christ came to this earth wearing human flesh, was baptized by John the Baptist to bear sins, took upon himself the sins of the world and died on the cross for us, rose from the dead, ascended and sat at the right hand of God the Father's throne, and has now become our eternal God. The door of the tabernacle, the pillars, the bronze sockets, all of them show the truth of the gospel. The entire Old Testament speaks of the baptism that Jesus Christ received, his sacrifice, his status, and his ministry of salvation. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Bible speaks of the salvation that Jesus accomplished, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine twine linen. That is, the gospel of water and the Spirit. Therefore, we who believe in that truth preach blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen whenever we open our mouths. So because we preach it so often and hear it so frequently, we sometimes forget its preciousness. However, how important is this truth of the gospel? Just as in the days of King Solomon, when precious gold and silver overflowed so much that they were used like stones, we may easily take the salvation lightly because we hear the word of truth every day in the church of God. But keep this in mind. Nowhere else but in God's church can we hear this gospel of truth. Also, we must know that without salvation through this truth, we can never be saved and cannot make the foundation of faith firm. The faith by which you and I have truly been saved is that our Lord has perfectly saved us and laid the foundation of salvation with these four things: blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twined linen. I tell you once again that all of you and I must firmly believe this in our hearts. God made a promise, and according to his promise, he came to this earth as the seed of woman, was baptized to bear our sins, received judgment for sin on the cross, and rose from the dead to save us perfectly. Because this isn't easy to say, easy to understand, simple but truly precious truth, we preach this truth every day. More pitiful than those who do not know this truth are those who are in God's church but do not believe. If you have truly received the removal of sin, then though your thoughts may be wicked, your hearts are very gentle. However, hypocritical people who do not believe and have not truly received the removal of sin pretend to be very meek on the outside. But how cunning they are inside! They deceive God and many people every day. You and I must lay the foundation of faith accurately. And we must stand before God on the foundation of salvation that the Lord has surely laid, by faith in it. Faith that stands firm like the materials of the tabernacle. Everyone, God told us to bring such offerings and build the tabernacle. Therefore, you and I must become people of faith who believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth and saved us from all sins like this. We must stand firm before God by having such faith that God acknowledges, like the materials used in the tabernacle. Do you believe? Yes. Everyone, do you have such faith? Yes. In God's church, we are still preaching the gospel of water and the Spirit. Because it is the foundation of faith, it is not too much to emphasize it every day. While countless churches and denominations in the world believe only in the blood of the cross without knowing the truth that Jesus was baptized and took over all the sins of the world, the Lord has enabled us to meet the truth among them. Everyone, the reason Jesus was crucified and pierced is because he was baptized by John the Baptist at the Jordan River. Because he received the sins of the world through baptism, he was crucified and pierced. Therefore, the faith of those who say they receive the remission of sin by believing only in the precious blood of the cross is fake faith that will collapse no matter how zealous and earnest they are. No matter how many people zealously proclaim believe in Jesus with loud voices in wide plazas, faith that cannot solve the sin in one's own heart, faith that believes only in the blood of the cross while earnestly offering repentance prayers, is a poor foundation that will collapse when rain comes, floods arise, and winds blow. You too must have experienced religious life before being born again through water and the Spirit. But at that time, you would never have heard about blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine twined linen. Not only that, you would never have heard the gospel of water and the Spirit, and you would never have heard that all our sins were transferred when Jesus was baptized. I too had never heard specifically about the baptism that Jesus received, even until 10 years after I believed in Jesus. Even now, I know there are many throughout the world who want to know the truth but do not know it. So we must preach this gospel of truth to people all over the world so that they can hear the truth of water and the Spirit, and so that they can believe in their hearts and receive the washing away of sin. When a person believes in Jesus, truly knowing and believing blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twine linen accurately is very important. Only when the foundation of faith is blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine twine linen can one stand surely and firmly by faith. If you have not believed in such truth until now, you can believe like this even now. Only by believing like this can one be perfectly saved and have one's faith stand on a firm foundation of faith. Those in the born-again Church of God must also make the foundation of faith clear. In the Bible, it says that two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left, Matthew chapter 24 verse 40. While saying that we believe within God's church, eating together, serving the gospel, and living together, is there anything more heartbreaking than if, in the end, someone ends up being left behind? Because faith is intellectual and gentlemanly, faith is not something that can be forced upon someone to have. When we hear God's word in a gentlemanly manner, we must acknowledge that we are now hearing God's word and purely accept that word and believe it in our hearts. Just as the Israelites listened to Moses with the attitude of hearing God's word when they heard Moses speak, we also need the attitude of examining whether we are believing in that way when the word tells us so. We should think about it in a gentlemanly manner, and if the word says so, then we should believe like that. Should we believe through force and stubborn disregard for individual personalities? In fact, even if you force someone to believe, the listener does not truly believe. Before God, it becomes for each person as they believe. Even though we tell the same story several times a month, if they don't believe, there is no other way but for them to go to hell. All people throughout the world are pitiful, but if someone is with us and still doesn't believe, that person is more pitiful. If someone is in here and doesn't believe and goes to hell, where could there be anyone more pitiful than that? Everyone, there were Jesus' 12 disciples, and among them Judas did not believe that Jesus was the Savior. So Judas always called Jesus teacher. Peter also sometimes called Jesus teacher, but he believed and confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Son of God who came to take away my sins as my Savior. You are the God of salvation." Peter's faith was different from Judas's faith. After Judas sold Jesus, he hanged himself and ended his life. In the end, Judas was with the other 11 disciples but failed to recognize and believe in Jesus Christ and went to hell. Peter was quick-tempered and very lacking, but he recognized Jesus and believed in him, and through faith that Jesus Christ was his Savior, he received salvation. In this way, salvation depends on each person's heart, whether they know and believe the truth in their heart, whether they don't know and can't believe, or whether they know but don't believe. This is why we say that the foundation of faith must be firm and right. How is the faith of you and me? Is the foundation of faith of you and me firm? Is it clear? Do you believe that the Lord has clearly saved you? The Lord has clearly saved us through water and the Spirit. It is not our denomination that says this. God promised this in the Old Testament, and Jesus actually saved us like this in the New Testament. Jesus, as the King of Kings, purple, came to this earth wearing human flesh, was baptized to bear the sins of the world, blue, carried the sins of the world and was crucified and died, scarlet, and rose from death to save us. He promised to do this in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, our Savior Jesus Christ accomplished this work as promised and saved us. Do you believe? This is laying a firm foundation of faith. There are hundreds of millions of people who believe in Jesus throughout the world, but there are truly many people whose foundation of faith is not firm. Looking at many Christian books available in the market, we can see whether Christians have proper faith or not. The people who publish books are people at the leadership level in Christianity, and through the books they have published, we can know whether these people really understand these parts correctly. If that one leader does not know this gospel of truth or knows but does not believe, all the people under him will go to hell. But unfortunately, the reality is that not even one out of a million people knows the gospel of salvation that Jesus accomplished through blue, purple and scarlet thread and fine twined linen. That is why we, the few who know the truth, are now preaching the gospel to the whole world. God is working through us who are born again by faith. You and I who are born again are now proclaiming this gospel of water and the Spirit throughout the world. And if we do not proclaim this gospel, it seems like we would commit a great sin before God, so we cannot help but preach the gospel. Now, if we do not truly follow by faith and serve by faith for this gospel preaching, we commit a tremendous sin before God. Because if we know but do not proclaim, it is the sin of sending people to hell. And if those who know and believe keep their mouths shut, people will go to hell because they do not know, so we must preach as debtors. If we do not fulfill the mission that God has entrusted to us, they will protest against you and me. A watchman has the duty to inform that enemy forces are attacking, but what would happen if he does not perform that duty? We who knew and believed first must fulfill the duty of watchmen. We give thanks that the Lord has given us such a gospel and made us know this truth. When we know that those who know this truth and believe in this gospel of salvation throughout the world are truly rare, our hearts become even heavier. We are preaching the gospel of water and the Spirit to pastors and many church members throughout the world, and we confirm daily that there is absolutely no one who had known and believed this gospel of salvation before. Now, through us, those who preach the gospel of truth of water and the Spirit are emerging in various parts of the world. They too, like us, have a firm foundation of faith and are preaching perfect faith. If there were many people besides us who preach, we could take some rest and preach leisurely, but regrettably, there are almost no people throughout the world who know and believe this truth. Because the first button was fastened wrong in the Reformation, everything after that was fastened wrong. No matter how rightly the lower ones were fastened, because it was wrong from the beginning, the history of Christianity must be rewritten. We must firmly lay the foundation of faith and stand before God with complete faith, and we must strive to spread this gospel on this foundation of faith. When you and I live for the gospel, our hearts will get better on their own. When we live for the gospel, we are transformed into spiritual hearts. And when the Holy Spirit works abundantly in your heart becomes better on its own. However, if we receive the remission of sin and know the gospel of water and the Spirit but do not live for the gospel and only pursue our own flesh, we will live insignificant lives. We give thanks that God has given us such a precious gospel and give thanks for giving us salvation without price. I hope that you will examine your faith once again and receive the perfect gift of salvation in blue, purple, scarlet thread and fine twined linen.